Would you turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Second Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, I'm reading from the New King James Version, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I want you to notice, wedged in all these different items here. Notice this one. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. For their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Scriptures. What a contrast. Disobedient to parents. From childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Is this thing up here, Steve, set for 45 minutes? Do you know if I push it? No? Okay. Well, then I'll just sort of watch my watch here. I'm used to the York Bible study. We just push a button and it times us. And then we don't go over time. We get a buzz at the end. And that's kind of nice. But I should have remembered that beforehand. We have a subject before us these three mornings, and I possibly will continue it, God willing, into Friday night. A subject that I know is of concern to every one of us. The family. Who can live in the day and age in which we live and not be deeply, deeply concerned about it? Now, I would just like to, before we go into the real study of what the Word of God says about this, I would like to just take five items as background that I think we need to be aware of as we study the family. The first one is that I want you to be aware, and I'm sure you are, that the family is in trouble today by design of Satan. There's no doubt about it, that what's happening to the family in this country is a satanic design. And we can see just how the family is being torn apart in our country, can't you? When I began doing some serious studying on the family, I put a little folder on my desk, and every time I would find an article relating to what's happening in the family, I'd stick it into this folder. And by the time this summer came to prepare for these messages, I had a folder thick with all kind of articles on the family. And I left it at home purposely, because I thought, I'm not going to stand up here and read to you all the things in magazines and newspapers that tell us what's happening to the American family, because you know all about it, don't you? We don't want to dwell on this negative side and go over all the things that are happening, because we know it only too well. But I think it's very, very important, though, for us to remind ourselves that we're in a real battlefield here. I mean, this is an area where we're in trouble, and where Satan is making tremendous, tremendous advancements. And we must be aware of this as we begin such a study. Right in the midst of all these different characteristics that are listed here in the beginning of chapter 3, there we saw disobedient to parents. We know that here we have a description of apostate Christianity, a description of the Western countries in which we live. And here is one of the marks, one of the characteristics that Paul told us so many centuries ago would be a mark of the departure of Christendom, that there would be disobedience to parents among the families. And aren't we seeing the results of that all around us? But it's important that we be aware of this. Let me tell you a story that kind of brought this home to me, the importance, as you study something, of being aware of your need of it. And being very much aware of it. Years ago, back in the late 40s and 50s, when we still used propeller planes and we had prop planes, and the parachute was one that you had to use yourself. You know, they didn't have the automatic things today where you get shot out of the cockpit and the chute automatically opens, but you had to learn to operate a parachute for yourself. You had to jump out of the prop plane, you had to pull the parachute. So you got special instruction on using a parachute when you went into the Air Corps, or as it later became the Air Force. And one day, a colonel was visiting one of the basic training bases where they taught the use of the parachute as one of their classes of instruction. And he went to the one class in the morning, and he saw the fellows come in from the squadron, sit down, looking rather tired. They had had a busy morning. They were up since early morning, and they were marching and doing all kinds of things that you do in basic training, and they were kind of tired out. And the colonel noticed that as the sergeant was going over the use of the parachute and showing them how to use it, there wasn't too much interest. A couple of them dozed off. A lot of them, he could see their minds were far away from what the sergeant was talking about. And after the class, he said, "Sergeant," he said, I got the feeling that those men weren't following your instructions too closely. He said, "Where do you see the next class?" The next class came in, and the colonel couldn't believe it. These men just couldn't believe how alert they were. Their eyes were just pinned on that sergeant. Everything he told them about the parachute, every piece of instruction, hands went up, questions were asked. And it just, the class was the most highly motivated class you could wish for as an instructor. And after this class left, the colonel said, "Wait a minute, what's the difference between that second period class and that third period class?" He said, I don't understand why you had such poor motivation in the first. You had such tremendous motivation in the second." He said, "Oh, it's very simple, Colonel." He said, "This first class, these fellows are just beginning basic training. Some of them are going to be pencil pushers. Some of them are going to be ground mechanics. I figure they'll never even be in an airplane. The ones that might end up in an airplane, that seems far in the distance to them right now. So what do they care about parachutes? They figure, who needs a parachute? That's no important." But he said, "In the next class, those fellows are already in the air. They've begun instruction. They're up there in a plane every day. And they want to know how to use that parachute. And that's motivation. It's life or death. Okay. Now, that to me, that illustration gave me the realization of what provides motivation. That is the realization that what we're talking about, what we're considering, is a matter of life or death. And I sincerely believe when it comes to the subject of the family, we're talking about the life or death of our assembly, of our country, of all that we hold precious is at stake when we talk about the family. It's at the foundation of it. And if we're not serious about it, we better get serious about it. Sometimes we get reactions sort of like this when you talk about the family today. You say, well, you know, I listened to my dad tell stories about when he was a kid, and kids have always been bad, you know, and there's always been problems in the family. And there is that own awareness. That's true. But there's that own awareness that we're living in the last days, and things are waxing worse and worse, and we are in a serious problem in regard to the family. You cannot compare it. Though there were problems 50 years ago, yes. There were problems 200 years ago, yes. But you cannot compare those with the problems we're facing today, with the subtlety, the deceit of the enemy that he's brought in, knowing it's his last days. And what we see interacting in families today is of a very, very serious nature. And we need, if we're not, we need to become very serious about it. If you are deeply concerned yourself, and you're at this conference in family matters, and I mention this because I don't think a week goes by we don't talk to folks who are deeply troubled about family situations. You just can't avoid it. It's just all around, and I know many of you brethren know what I'm talking about. It's a subject that's on our mind and thoughts all the time. And if that's the case, may I strongly advise you, please seek help. Seek advice. Don't keep it to yourself. This is what I've found to be one of the most serious problems with Christians in regard to the family. They try to handle the problem entirely themselves. Sort of something innate within us that says, well, you know how to do this, I can handle it. But believe me, you need help with your family. You do, in the days in which we're living. And don't be afraid to seek that advice. There are godly men and women among you who've already raised their children. They've gone the route. Don't look at them as, you know, old-timers that can't help you today. They can. We've got a mother here among us who raised 5 boys. I wish she could take my place and give you some advice on raising a family, because she'd do it better than I would. Because she's got the experience behind her. Seek advice. There's lots of godly brethren and sisters can help you, and there's been lots of good things written. many good booklets. I was just handed one this morning that Steve was given when I was figuring this out. This was about 20 years ago he got this booklet, called To the Parents of My Grandchildren by a Grandfather. This booklet's obtainable by Bible Truth Publishers. I have not read it yet, because I was just given it this morning, but I'm told by Steve and by Larry Batts that it's an excellent booklet. I'm going to read it. Don't ask to borrow this one until I read it. But you're welcome to borrow it if you see Steve. It's his copy. it's one that I haven't read and I want to. But there's lots of good booklets on the subject. But may I say, while we're talking about this, if you feel this desperate need for advice and counsel and help regarding your family, please don't go to a Bible bookstore and pick out any book on the shelf and begin to read it. There's a lot of stuff out there that shouldn't be read. It's not going to help you. Now, I say that kindly, but I want to say it through experience. There's a lot of things that have been written in the recent years based on psychology, on the wisdom of man, things that are not really based on the Word of God, and they're going to give you more problems than help. I've been in contact with some families that have been highly influenced by some of these later periodicals, and it's got them into big trouble as a result of it, trying to follow the recommendations that are made in these booklets. So again, if you buy booklets to read, and there's so many things printed on the family, it's probably one of the most widely published areas that there is. Please seek the advice again of godly brethren and sisters before you read the booklet. Seek their advice, because otherwise you can be doing yourself a lot of harm. Now, that's the first point we want to leave with you. The family is in trouble by design of the enemy, and we need to be absolutely aware of this point. Now, as you go down to verse 15 in this chapter, we notice a second thing that I think is important that, by way of introduction, we want to emphasize in regard to the family. And that is family life. The way you're raised as a child leaves a lasting influence. And we must be aware of this. There are things that happen to us in childhood that affect us for the remainder of our life. And you notice in verse 15, Paul was able to say, from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures. And I am sure that what Timothy learned as a child had a lasting effect upon him. This makes the study of the family extremely important, doesn't it? Not only because Satan is attacking us, and it's his design to rip that family apart, but because we see the family as a unit that God can use tremendously to plant a godly influence in the mind of young people before they get out there into the world under the influence of what's around them. What opportunity the family is. I think this was brought to me in force just not too long ago when I went to visit my aunt who is in a nursing home with Alzheimer's disease. She's close to 80 years old now, and she was raised in a godly family. My grandfather, her father, was a man who sought to bring up his children under the influence of the Holy Scriptures. But sad to say, some of them, after they grew up, got out into the world, departed from what they were taught, and got into all kinds of troubles and difficulties, and my aunt was one of them. In fact, she reached a point, when I can remember, she married an unsaved man, and I can remember trying to talk to her about the Lord, and she wouldn't even let me talk to her. My uncle, who was a Christian, tried to talk to her, and she just wouldn't hear of it. She just didn't even want to talk about the Lord. I went to visit her in the nursing home, and we were talking and going over things. She didn't even remember me. With Alzheimer's disease, you know, they lose so much of their memory, and she didn't even recognize me. I had to explain to her who I was, and we were talking, and we began talking about her days as a little girl when she went to Sunday school. Now, here was a woman who forgot almost everything she knew. She didn't know the names of her friends. She didn't know her husband's name. She forgot almost everything relating to her recent life. She's remembered nothing. We started to talk about Sunday school. And I said, do you still remember any scriptures from when you went to Sunday school? Oh, yes, she said. And she quoted to me perfectly John 3:16, word for word. I sat there thinking, she's quoting me a verse that she learned probably when she was 8 years old. 70 years have gone by. She'd been stricken with Alzheimer's disease, and yet she quoted that verse perfectly. What an influence we have in the family. And let us realize how God can use us in raising our family and in dealing with families in a most tremendous way. Third thing we want to point out, if you'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, just a couple interesting things here that I noticed regarding the family. Did you ever notice in 1 Timothy 3 when Paul lists the qualifications of overseers? And somebody's pointed out, after all, those qualifications for overseers, shouldn't they be the characteristics of all of us as believers? You know, really? Aren't they things that every one of us should be desirous of and grasping after and going for? And did you ever notice when it lists those characteristics, it talks about the family? It's been touching to me in reading the scriptures how often, right through the Old Testament into the New Testament, how God is very vitally concerned about the New Testament. Even though we don't receive an abundance of instruction in regard to how to raise a family, yet we receive these constant reminders and references to the family, showing that God places so much importance on the family. And you notice, as he gets to the end of these qualifications, or toward the end of them, he says an overseer, verse 4, should be one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? So, what I'm doing with my family very much affects what I can do in the assembly. Is that stretching anything there? Can you see that relationship? So, the third point is that the family has a tremendous influence upon the assembly. I'm convinced that the weaknesses we're seeing in the assemblies today, the problems we're seeing, and we're aware of them. How can we live in the last days and not be aware of them and not experience them? I'm convinced that so much of it is due to a breakdown in family life, even among Christians. And that breakdown in the family has caused a breakdown in the assembly. The booklet that Steve mentioned this morning at breakfast deals with that subject in more detail. And I recommend that as brethren in the assembly and sisters, that you read it, because it's a problem. Family problems are going to become more and more pronounced in our assemblies as days go by. We're going to experience family problems such as we've never experienced in previous decades. And I think it's important that we be aware of the influence of the family on the assembly. It has an influence that I think far surpasses what we can imagine. And so much of the behavior, negative attitudes that we see in assemblies today go right back there to the family. And those of you that do visitation, I'm sure you're aware of this. When you have a problem family in the assembly and you go to the home, you don't have to be there very long, and you see where the problem begins. We also notice that as he goes on here in verse 7, he says regarding the overseer, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside. And I want to say a fourth point we must be aware in regard to the importance of the family is that I believe it's one of the most effective testimonies to those who are on the outside that we have today. Because if the family is breaking down, and we surely know it is, we're not going to give examples of it, but we know it is. If it is, then the greater the darkness, the greater the light. In other words, the families that don't break down, the families that maintain godly standards and live for the Lord, and train their children in the Lord, they're going to shine all the brighter, aren't they? As the breakdown becomes greater. So that really, a breakdown in family life provides the Christian family a greater opportunity for testimony. And you're going to be asked a question. And perhaps, you know, I'm sure some of you have experienced this. If you're seeking to bring your sons and daughters and keeping your family together in the Lord, I'm sure you've been asked the question, you know, what makes a difference in your family? You know, I've noticed your son, or I've noticed your daughter, I've noticed your family, and what's the difference? And what an opportunity it is for you to bear testimony, isn't it? And I know some of you, I can tell by the looks on your faces, you've had this experience and on previous occasions. One more point by way of introduction. Ephesians chapter 6. This perhaps, Ephesians chapter 6, is perhaps the key source in the New Testament regarding the family. There, of course, are many other sources, but this is perhaps one of the key ones, Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Remember the characteristic of the last days? Disobedience to parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, here's the point I want to emphasize by way of introduction that I think it's very important we keep in mind as we study the family. Bring them up. Please note those words. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, you don't bring up children in 24 hours, do you? You don't bring up children in a week. You don't bring up children in a month. Don't look for instantaneous solutions to your family problems. There aren't any. Don't look for magical solutions. Because there just aren't any. Let's go back to our first point. We must see our need. We must recognize the family is in deep trouble. And since we're part of this society and this culture and what's happening in the last days, and we're here, we're amongst it, we're in deep trouble. We've got some big problems facing us. And I want to tell you, get sidetracked again, but my heart just goes out to young people and to little children today. Because as you get older, you know the problems that lie ahead. I look at my little granddaughter sometimes and I say, Lord, I wish you didn't have to grow up. I just wish you could stay like that. But of course, that can't be. She must grow up, and she must be brought up, and she must be brought up in the Lord. But the point is that as you see your need, and it's so imperative you begin there, and you realize your total weakness, really, to do anything about the problem yourself. It's all around you. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get easier. And you know something, brethren, sisters? It's good when we get to that point. When we see the situation is just absolutely hopeless, we say, Lord, there's no way I can raise children in this age in which we're living. There's no way. I say, good, now you've got a good start. You've got a good beginning, because that's exactly right. There's no way you can. Now we're down on our knees. We're before the Lord, and we're saying, help, Lord, help. Now we're ready for His day-by-day help, that we can bring up our children, as it says here, in the training and admonition of the Lord. And this has to be a day-by-day dependence on the Lord. There's no other solution. There's no quick miracles. It means that every day of my life as a parent, I must be on my knees for my children. And I must ask the Lord to just help me this day to be a good example to them, to say the right things, to teach them well, and just ask Him every day. Ask Him to help us not to be inconsistent, not to be on fire 1 week, and then for the next 4 weeks, to be as cold as an icicle. But help us every day to make our children aware that we lived in dependence on the Lord day by day, that they sensed that as problems came into the family, as the years rolled on, time went by, and problems came into the family, they can remember Mom and Dad seeking the help of the Lord. They can remember Mom and Dad going to the Scriptures and looking for the solutions there. And these are the things that are implanted in their hearts and minds. And they may grow up and they may go astray, because we can't control that. We can bring them up in the Lord, but we can't bring them to the Lord. We can't force them to subject themselves to the Lord. We bring them up. And then we leave the results with the Lord. And they may break our hearts at times. They may depart. They may do things that just absolutely tear us to pieces because we know what they're doing to themselves. But we have that satisfaction that we brought them up in the Lord. And we can leave the matter to the Lord. And as the years roll by, should the Lord not come, we begin to see the results of that ministry that God gave us. Now, what I would like to do, I took too long for an introduction. So, we'll just go through some of the other things faster, and maybe what I don't get through, we just won't get through. I don't really want to try to pressure myself regarding time. We'll get through what we can, and what we don't get through, we just, probably won't matter anyway. But I would like to cover four areas with you in regard to the family. Areas that I feel Satan is using in the world about us to influence and eventually destroy the family. First of all, we want to look at the area of permissiveness. What a tremendous area this is to think about. Now, our text that we are using as our theme here at the Spread the Word conference is Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you've never memorized those two verses, do it this week, okay? That'll be, if you don't take anything else home with you this week, if you just memorize those two verses, it'll be a profitable week. It's so important to memorize the Scriptures. Be not conformed to this world. That's what we're talking about here. I believe there are areas that Satan has used to conform Christians to the world that's bringing about the destruction of the Christian family. And we need to be aware of what these areas are. And the first one, I think, is permissiveness. And we want to examine that. The second one is popularity. The third one is prosperity. What a problem that is in our society. And the fourth one is planning. Planning through worldly advice, through worldly psychology, through worldly admonition instead of the admonition of the Word of God. Now, by the grace of God and by His help, we'll look at those four areas. And then we want to look at not just the negative, not what Satan wants to conform us to, but what God wants to transform us to. For it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we want to look at the Scriptures and see what the Scriptures tell us we can be doing about these worldly influences and how we can keep them out of our family. Now let's look at the first one. I have just a few minutes that we can get started on the problem of permissiveness. Would you turn to Ephesians? We're right here in Ephesians. Would you turn to the second chapter of Ephesians? I want to make you aware of what it seems to me is one of the major problems that parents are facing today. Ephesians 2 verse 1, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Disobedient to parents. It begins in childhood, and here we are. We were all sons of disobedience. Notice how this note runs through. Disobedience, disobedience. That's the key to what Satan is using to disrupt the family. Disobedience. He knows human nature does not like to be subject to anybody, to anything. A family represents authority. A family cannot exist without subjection. A family cannot exist without obedience. Remember, Larry was pointing that out last night to us in regard to the local church. He said it's a family. And then he said it was a house. And he said in a house there has to be order. And there has to be order in a family. Now Satan knows this. He's cunning. He's clever. And he knows that we're not subject to obedience. So we're sons of disobedience. And notice how this demonstrated itself in verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. What is the practice? What is the demonstration of the world and its daily living around us? Well, it's simply doing what's right in your own eyes. It's license. That's the whole area of what we try to well, how should we say? We try to say this is democracy. It really isn't. It's not at all what of the early fathers in this country had in mind when they spoke of democracy, but we define it in these terms. We've taken democracy to its absolute length, and we say that it gives every individual the right to do whatever he wants to do. And if you interfere with the individual, if you prevent him from doing what he wants to do, you're interfering with his rights. And so we have what we call license among us. If it feels good, do it. God's will doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether I have responsibility to anybody or to God or whatever the case might be. It's licentiousness. The scriptures use the word often. Having no regard for accepted rules or standards. Isn't this the age in which we're living? Isn't it an exact description? I want to do it. Therefore, I'm going to do it. Now, that's a problem for the Christian family, isn't it? That's what we call permissiveness. Am I going to bring my children up under this rule? Am I going to let them do whatever they want to do? That's one of the basic things that confronts the new parent as a Christian. Is this going to be my rule? All the books say I should. All the philosophies of the world say I should. My friends and neighbors say I should. And that's one of the toughest areas, isn't it? You know, my kids are having contact all the time with kids all around them. And by the way, even if they go to a Christian school, Christian families can be sometimes some of the toughest ones to deal with, because if you come across Christian families that are letting their kids just do, you know, whatever they want, expressing themselves, that's the educational term. You gotta let them express themselves. That's just a fancy term for doing whatever they feel like doing. And when you come across this with Christian families, it's even tougher, isn't it? Because you have to explain to your kids why Johnny across the street, whose parents are Christians, can do this, but you're saying, no, they can't do it. You say, well, they're Christians, and if they're Christians and they can do it, why can't we do it? Well, I hope you have a good answer for that, because there's good answers in the Scripture. But that's one of the basic problems, isn't it? And Billy doesn't have to do it, why must I do it? Or Mary can do it, why can't I do it? It works both in the positive and the negative realm. And then we have the literature from newspapers to magazines to child psychology. And what do they tell us? Avoid confrontation. You know, they say don't do anything in which you're confronting your kids, which basically means don't say to them you can't do this. Because that's a confrontation. They're saying, no, you don't do this. You kind of sidestep it. Well, I prefer if you didn't do this. Might be better, let's talk about this. It might be better, you know, if we try to avoid confrontation. And that's what child psychology is advising us today. It's telling us to give a reason for every answer we give. That we're to sit down and we're to talk about it. Disobedience, you know, calls for discipline, not analysis. But we're analyzing everything. And we've lost the art, folks, of discipline. And the Bible teaches discipline in every area of life. And we have lost it. Television. Television, what an influence. One of the things it does is it makes evil a relative thing. It makes it relative. That is, when I was a boy being brought up, my parents wouldn't let me see certain movies. In fact, they wouldn't let me see any movies, matter of fact. I just wasn't allowed to go to the movie house. Now, those movies that I wasn't allowed to see are being shown on the channels today. And the attitude of most of us as parents, as Christian parents, is to say, well, they're fine. You can look at those old movies. Because compared to the new movies, they're great, aren't they? You see what I mean? So what was evil back in the 40s and 50s is really great in the 80s and the 90s. It's really great. That's a danger, brothers and sisters, that we're facing. In other words, as evil increases, as the desire and the freedom to just do whatever we want to do becomes greater and greater, there is a greater yielding on our part to evil, saying, well, this isn't as bad as that. And I'd rather have you do this than have you do that. But they're both wrong. And God doesn't have standards like this. Evil to God is evil. And therefore, we must confront evil and we must enforce discipline. Tomorrow, we'll have more to say that. I think I've about used up my time, haven't I, Steve? Seems to me it's been about 45 minutes, so I'll stop there. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father and our God, your Holy Spirit, I believe, has made us aware that we're dealing with an area here that, oh God, has given us heavy hearts today. And we realize how inadequate anyone can be in dealing with heavy hearts. But our Father, we know through your Holy Spirit, you can do wonderful things. For you form the spirits of men, just as you created the heavens and created the earth. We pray that you would work in the hearts of each of us and give us that inner strength that we need from you to face the problems that we face today with the family. We know there are heartbreaking stories that folks have gone through already in regard to their families. But help us to know that you love the family and you love each one of us, and you'll give us the wisdom and the strength and the courage to be what you want us to be in Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.